Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, like so many others, my next guest got his bright idea of setting up his own business during the height of the pandemic. John Larkin is the founder and chief soap maker here at The Black Stuff, and he's made it his mission to get as much handmade natural soap into the hands of as many people as possible. And he joins me now. John, we're out here in your premises in Sandyford. I've paid you a visit. Lovely to meet you, first of all. Tell us about, you describe yourself as a solopreneur. What might that be?
Yeah, so, and first of all, thanks a million for coming. And thankfully also, I'm no longer a solopreneur. I figured out that hiring people is a much better way to scale a business than trying to do everything yourself. But for the first, you know, year and a half, or close to 2 years, the first 18 months, definitely, it was just me and a crazy idea of making handmade soap and natural deodorants and somehow selling them, and kind of stumbled into it, I guess, because of COVID. Yeah. So, that's where the solopreneur comes from. It's just me doing everything.
Well, what's really interesting about this business is that you're completely self-taught. You taught yourself by watching videos online and whatever research you do to basically make soap. You were started in your kitchen. You say you made 54 soaps at a time. Now I believe you're doing about 10,000 a week. So how did you get from that to what we have here today?
Yeah, so the original idea for the business was, it was through research and analysis of the market. You know, there was a trend away from synthetic towards more natural products. And mainly I observed that through the products my wife was buying. And I'd identified a number of years ago, probably 5-6 years ago, that soap for men might be a good opportunity in e-commerce. You know, it's light, it's easy to ship, comes in lots of different varieties. It leads on to complementary products. It can be priced at a premium. But I never thought I would make it. I thought, you know, well, we'll find a manufacturer, we'll build a brand around it, and hopefully people will like the product. And when I started on this venture in January 2021, we were in that real strict lockdown where you could only go 5K to the supermarket once a day. And for some reason, that's when I decided to make a go of this. And I found a few manufacturers and I contacted them and I even paid two of them for samples, but nothing shipped and I didn't hear back from them. I started doing more research and I figured I've come across these videos of people teaching how to make soap on YouTube. And I thought that's really interesting. I might actually learn a lot more about the product if I learned how to make it. So I ordered soap making equipment from Amazon to the house. And that arrived, you know, next day. Fantastic. Got stuck in. The first bar of soap I ever used that I'd made, actually cut myself on the stomach with it because I had decided to put sand in it from the local beach, which turned out to be mainly crushed seashells and not so much sand. So lesson learned there on day one. But I persisted. And if you talk to my wife, she would tell you I'm kind of a little bit OCD about things. I'm either all or nothing. And that is definitely true. When I do things, I'm either in 100% or I'm not doing it. So very quickly, I started experimenting with different recipes. I was trying to come up with product that I liked, different scent profiles, different additives, all that type of stuff. And, you know, I went from making 9 bars of soap the first time I made soap to like making 9 different versions in one day and making 81 bars of soap. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, there was soap all over the house. Right. And my wife was kind of going, what's going on here? Are you having a midlife crisis? And the neighbors are kind of laughing at me as well because the whole place started to smell of soap, and just kind of evolved from there.
But there's a kind of a learning from that, in that while it may have been the slow route, I'd suggest it was probably a good idea.
Yeah, it definitely was a good idea. And in terms of slow, it was slow. You know, I didn't sell anything for 6 months after I started, you know, because I was trying to figure out the recipe that I liked and figure out the product that I liked. And it probably took 3 to 4 months before I actually got the samples from that, one of the manufacturers. One never even shipped it in the end. And when that arrived, the soaps that I had made at that point were, I thought, way better. It was that moment where I thought, well, maybe we could scale this. And I did the math, you know, the maths behind it. Like, can you actually scale a handmade product business? From all my calculations, I thought you could. So fingers crossed that math is still correct.
So you turned over 35K the first year. You're looking to turn over maybe 4 to 5 million this year. So yeah, you clearly have found a market for your product. You're an interesting character. You started off life as a professional poker player. I'm sort of intrigued about that. Tell us a little bit about that, and what did that teach you in the world of business and economics?
Yeah, and I actually credit a lot of my ability to scale companies, because I've done this multiple times, through paid acquisition, back to my poker playing days, because poker is all about odds and all about you put money in, you get money out, and figuring out profitable and being profitable. Poker, when you're a professional poker player, the way I say, in the short term, any hand can win. But in the long term, it's like flipping a series of slightly weighted coins in my favor. So right, it'd be, you know, it might only be 55, 45, but, you know, you do it 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, you know, you end up with the money. And poker was just a thing that I did in college at a very, very long time ago. And I kind of got into it. And like I said, when I get into things, I get in really into them. And then online, you know, the internet came about, and I was playing poker for a living at the dawn of online poker.
Oh, yeah.
When it first started. Yeah. And the stakes you could play back then were minuscule compared to what people play today. And there was no learning available. I'd buy books from guys who wrote them in the 70s, you know, and they were in hardback, and actually go through it with a highlighter and try and figure out odds and how the game actually worked. But yeah, it's way more evolved now, way harder to make a living, I suspect.
Well, we'll maybe chat about that another day, because I'm sure there's another story there. Now, John, we're in the heart of the operation here. There's a lot going on. I'm seeing melted wax. Maybe describe for our listeners what's going on here.
Okay, yeah. So this is our workshop where we make all our products. The way it's set up is the closer you are to the front door of the building, the more finished the product is.
Yeah.
So around us here, you can see all our raw materials. We've got boxes of olive oil and coconut oil and shea butter. There's probably about 4 tons of product here on our left in raw materials. We also use sodium hydroxide, which is to make lye, which is what you need to make soap. So this is kind of, we're in the kind of raw material area. Okay. of the business. And when it comes to making soap, soap is actually really interesting. You could go to your kitchen sink and take drain cleaner, which is an alkali, and mix it with olive oil from your kitchen, and it would saponify. Now, it wouldn't be great soap it would make, but it would saponify and create a kind of soap.
Okay.
So mixing any oil with an alkali creates saponification, and the end result is it gives off heat, and it turns into the oil into soap.
Okay, so then everything is obviously melted down, first of all, and I saw molding then taking place. What about adding the fragrance? And I know you only use natural fragrance, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So we measure out all our raw materials in advance, and some of those come in solid form. So like coconut at room temperature and shea butter, they're solid butters and solid oils. So we need to melt them first to work with them. And then we need to cool them to room temperature, and then you add them to lye. And then the saponification process starts, and there's no lye left in the end product. It's just, it all turns into soap. So you can see here, Vicky is making the Good Room soap. So this is an interesting soap in that it's got a charcoal layer in the middle. So she's poured half, then she's putting in the charcoal layer in the middle, and then she's going to pour in the rest.
So it's like a mold. It's a wooden box with a plastic silicone insert, I see. So it's obviously easy then to take the hard soap out of that.
Yes, and in fact, these are the first molds that I bought on Amazon back in the day when I first started.
Stop.
You can buy one of these for £12 on Amazon.co.uk. And if you look over here, there's a trolley with hundreds and hundreds of empty molds.
Yeah.
So we ended up buying them in bulk. We found the original manufacturer and we bought them in bulk.
Great.
Because we still make soap the exact same way that I used to make it in my kitchen. So this bowl will make 54 soaps, because it's the only way I know how to make good soap, and I don't want to change the process. I want to maintain the authenticity of it being handmade. So you can see here all these big 1 litre, aluminium canisters. Each one of those contains an essential oil. And down in the bottom, you can see larger 5 kilo plastic containers, which contain essential oils. So when I first started, the easiest thing to do would have been to buy, you know, you can buy pre-made fragrances. You know, if you think candle shops and things like that, usually most people and soap makers usually just buy a fragrance. You know, if I want something that smells like Hugo Boss, I can buy a similar fragrance and just add it to my soap. But because I wanted it to be fully natural, I decided to take the hard route and create my own unique scents by blending essential oils.
Super.
And that's, as you can see, there's hundreds and hundreds of different
essentials. And maybe just to call a few out, I see coriander there, I see clove, cinnamon bark, lemongrass, cochin, lavender. These are all like wild fragrance, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And so the average bar soap that we use uses a blend of about five or six different ones to make them totally unique.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about the deodorant.
Straight away when I launched the soap, I decided I also wanted to make natural deodorant. And like the soap making, that was also a process of self-learning and trial and error. And, you know, I had red armpits and black armpits and all sorts of stuff going on. But I was making, at the beginning, I was making a different kind of recipe every day. I'd say it took me 6 months to come up with our end recipe. And we've improved it a couple of times since then. So the way our deodorant works is it actually has an active ingredient. So we use magnesium, which is, if you think milk of magnesia, used to take to settle your stomach. It's the same thing. It's a magnesium powder. So that, at its essence, is how this works. It creates an slight alkali environment in your armpit, which prevent bacteria hanging out. And it's those bacteria who actually cause BO, so it's not the sweat. So then we add to the magnesium, we add a wax to make it solid at room temperature, and we add some things that are good for your skin and some scent as well. So the way it works is it's like a wax stick that you slightly... I suppose you slightly soften using your body heat, and it goes on dry into your armpits. So there's no wet or sticky feeling, and it doesn't stain your clothes or anything like that, but it's incredibly effective and it'll last all day long.
Then finally, what's next for this business? Because you clearly have built it up from the bottom up, the progress of starting small, getting to the scale you are now. Like, what's next for this business?
Yeah, well, people probably say I'm mad when I talk about what's next. But in my mind, this was never about building a small business. It was about building, you know, a business of the ages, let's say. You know, I'm not building this for me now. I'm building it for my kids and for their kids, at least in my mind. And that's when people tell you I'm probably am mad. But, you know, we've got great products. We plan to release other future products, and quality is also going to be great. Like, we've got a matching cologne product coming later this year. And in the future, we plan to dip into other men's essentials, maybe things like t-shirts and shorts and stuff like that as well. So we're planning on moving beyond the bathroom.
Well, the business is called The Black Stuff. The founder and solo entrepreneur is John Larkin. John, thanks for inviting me out here today. I've really, really enjoyed my trip.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.